Hey, everybody, welcome into another edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you talking all things Florida Panthers hockey, as always, on a Saturday morning. And, well, as always, we've got a lot to get to over the course of the next hour. Welcome into another edition of the program. We've got Dan Day over on the other side of the glass and lots to cover over the next 60 minutes. It's been a busy week for the Florida Panthers, who continue their road trip tonight. The Panthers are in Montreal this evening, a 7 o'clock face-off against the Canadiens, game with big playoff implications all over the place. We'll talk about that here in just a few moments. We'll get to the week ahead. We'll take a look back at the week that was, some highlights, some reaction coming your way. So lots to cover here in our opening segment. Coming up in just a little bit, Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com and the Territory Talk podcast. He's going to stop by. We'll talk about everything that's taken place in and around the Panthers lately. And then later on in the hour, we'll recap a big event that happened back on Wednesday. The Panthers gifted a Stanley Cup ring to the Hockey Hall of Fame, a tradition that's taken place since back in 2007. Panthers gifted a ring to the Hockey Hall of Fame back on Wednesday. A few members of last year's Stanley Cup winner, the coaching staff, the president of hockey operations, general manager Bill Zito, went out to the Hall of Fame. Great event back on Wednesday, and we'll have some sound from that coming up later on in the hour. And again, lots more coming your way here on Panthers Insider. So I mentioned the week ahead. It's going to be a busy week for the Panthers. That's par for the course here lately. The Panthers in Montreal taking on the Canadiens tonight. So a programming note, AM 790 WAXY is your place to catch us in Miami-Dade and Broward counties tonight. If you're tuned in to the Palm Beaches, Real Radio 92.1 and 1230 The Gamblers, where to find us. Real Radio 101.7 up on the Treasure Coast and 100.3 Thunder Country in the Florida Keys. You can always get the Panthers app. Hit that radio button top right corner and you'll get our broadcast each and every game. All those stations stay the same for tomorrow when the Panthers visit the New York Islanders, except in Miami-Dade and Broward counties. We'll be back over on our flagship home, 560 WQAM. That's tomorrow night, a 7:30 start with a 7 o'clock pregame. So jot that down. Tonight is a 7 o'clock faceoff. Tomorrow, a 7:30 faceoff. And of course, pregame coverage beginning a half an hour before each game across the radio network. The Panthers will have a few days off, and then it'll be a matchup in Columbus against the Blue Jackets coming up on Thursday night. And then the Panthers will visit the Washington Capitals a week from today. In the district, the next Panthers home game will be a week from tomorrow. That's March 23rd, a Sunday. It'll be the second end of a back-to-back for the Panthers, but it'll be exciting to get back on home ice. The Panthers have the Pittsburgh Penguins at Amerant Bank Arena a week from tomorrow. Sidney Crosby and company coming in. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. So that's what lies ahead for the Florida Panthers. In mentioning the week that was, well, since the last time we spoke to you on Panthers Insider. 1 week ago, the Panthers, they picked up a couple of big victories. Last week, Saturday, the Panthers played the Buffalo Sabres at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise, and it was a 4-0 victory on home ice for the Panthers. So why don't we turn the clock back 1 week? Here are the highlights from that 4-0 win over Buffalo the Panthers had as they aired on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
Kulikov takes a pass. Nate Schmidt near circle, walks in, shot saved by Lucan, and loose, and Fulton, they score! And in the blue paint, A.J. Greer able to jam it home, and the Panthers take a 1-0 lead. Sam Reinhart, far circle, heads down low. Reinhart back behind the net, had it poked away. And as the Sabres try and clear, Byram couldn't get it out. Ekblad, Barkov, right circle. Up top for Hagee there. Wrist shot, he scores! Through traffic, top shelf, Carver Hagee, 2-0 Panthers. Benson heading in for Buffalo, back in front, save! Vanacek with the right pad on McLeod, what a save that was! Lundell out to the line, it's Kulikov to Jesper Boqvist, high slot, left circle, Schmidt, backhand shot, it's poked at, they score! Anton Lundell reached into the blue paint, and he jammed it in, and the Panthers take a 3-0 lead. Go Mikula along the boards, on for Bennett.
Here you go.
Bennett for Reinhart. Reinhart back for Bennett. Bennett on the empty net, he scores! 4-0 Panthers, Sam Bennett, the empty net goal. The final seconds tick away. Fans to their feet here at Amerant Bank Arena, and the horn sounds. 4-0. The Panthers knock off the Buffalo Sabres to close out the homestand. Six straight wins for the Panthers, and in his Panthers debut, Vitek Vanacek, a 21-save shutout. 4-0 Panthers over the Sabres tonight.
So that was 1 week ago. The Panthers 4-0 winners over the Buffalo Sabres at Amerant Bank Arena. Panthers debut for Nico Sturm and Panthers debut for Vitek Vanacek in net. Pitched a 21-save shutout in his first game as a Panther. So Panthers looking really deep at every position. Monday was a press conference. Brad Marchand introduced to the media in South Florida. Of course, it was acquired right before the trade deadline. That would have been a week ago yesterday. He is currently out with an injury, but met with the media back on Monday. And, well, here's Brad Marchand talking about his excitement level of being a Florida Panther.
You know, obviously, it's sad to leave a place that I look at as home. Had a lot of great memories in Boston and a ton of incredible years there. But it's extremely exciting to be part of such an incredible group. And when I walked into the room the other day, I literally had flashbacks to back in the year that we won and some of the groups that we've had over the year that I looked at as an incredible chemistry and incredible culture. And when you walk in here and you see the way the guys interact and the relationships that they have, not just within the room as players, but with their staff and their coaches and management, it shows why they've been, you know, the pillar in the league the last few years. So I'm extremely excited to be part of the group and really looking forward to getting back on the ice and becoming part of the group here.
So Brad Marchand there on joining his new team. Here's Panthers head coach Paul Maurice when I had a chance to chat with him a day after the trade was made. Here's what he had to say as far as how he felt when he found out that Brad Marchand was coming to South Florida.
Yeah, that was a surprise in the coaches' room. We didn't see that one coming. But there's a bigger theme here. When you look at what we felt the needs were, and I think that's where the pro scouts and Bill Zito and his staff just excel. They can look at the team and say, this is what we need. And really the strength that we had last year that we kind of lost some guys to was penalty killing. Such an important part. Like, we hit Tampa, the New York Rangers, and Edmonton, and each one of them was in the high 30s. Their power play was, like, can win a series easily. So we brought in guys. So Seth Jones can kill penalties, big, rangy, fast. And if we don't use him on big minutes, he's still going to take time away from those other guys. And both Sturm and Marchand, I mean, Marchand and Bergeron were the elite penalty-killing team in the league. He's got the head for it. Nico, the face-off is critical piece to what we do. So those are the needs. It just so happens that one of the needs gets filled with, you know, just a generational player in Brad Marchand. He plays, as everybody knows, he's got a little Florida Panther in him in the way that he plays, and we felt he could just come in here. It's all the things, the little connections, Sam Bennett, Sam Reinhart, you know, he plays with Benny and at the Four Nations. Benny has an incredible experience with him. They really enjoyed him as a man and as a player and a teammate, so I think he fits right into this room. And he brings a little of that juice, right? Bit of a talker and an energy bringer every day, and that'll be great for us.
So you heard it from Paul Maurice right there. Excited to see Brad Marchand join the group and says he already has a little bit of Florida Panther in him. Now, the Panthers did begin their road trip back on Tuesday night playing Marchand's old team, the Boston Bruins. Panthers fell just short in that one. Their winning streak was snapped at 6 games. Boston won that game by a 3-2 score over the Panthers back on Tuesday, and that set up a big one on Thursday night in Toronto. The Panthers met the Maple Leafs, and the winner of Thursday night's game was going to have a chance to finish that night's action atop the Atlantic Division. The Panthers came out on top. They won the game 3-2. It was a big victory, and the Panthers, as a result, in first place in the Atlantic at the moment. Here are the highlights from Thursday night's win in Toronto as they aired on the Florida Panthers Radio Network presented by Baptist Health.
Harkov to Reinhart, left side. Out to the line, Jones. Down to the corner, Reinhardt. Sam Miskevich in close, a shot. Bennett the rebound. He scores. Sam Bennett jams it home. And the Panthers tie this one up. A power play goal. Sam Bennett makes it 1-1. Mackie Samuskevich, a nifty move to get it to the net. Stolarz made the initial save, but Bennett there on the doorstep picks up the loose change, and this game is tied. Greer through center ice. Into the offensive end. It's poked away. Loose to the near corner. Greer after it. Out front, high slot. A shot. They score. It's Nico Mikkola. He breaks the 1-1 tie. 2-1 Panthers. What a setup out front. And Nico Mikkola able to bury it. Jones, near circle, pass down low, worked out front by Barkov, paddled away by Stolarz. Samuskevich covering the near point to the center of the blue line for Jones. Samuskevich, left circle, power play winding down. Reinhardt, side of the net, Bennett in front, he scores! Sam Bennett, second of the game, a power play goal! And the Panthers stretch their lead to 3-1. 5 seconds, long outlet, Forsling stops it, fires it back into the Leafs zone, and that's going to do it for this one! The Panthers win it tonight in Toronto. 3-2, the final score. The Panthers knock off the Leafs, and they remain atop the Atlantic Division. For Sergei Bobrovsky, his 424th National Hockey League victory. That puts him into sole possession of 10th on the all-time goaltending wins list. 3-2, the Panthers win it here in Toronto tonight.
So a big win there for the Panthers the other night, and another milestone for Sergei Bobrovsky moving into sole possession of 10th on the NHL's all-time goaltending wins list. Congratulations to Sergei Bobrovsky. Panthers in Montreal to continue their road trip tonight. It's going to be a 7 o'clock face-off. 6:30, we're on the air with Panthers preview. As I mentioned, programming note, Miami-Dade and Broward County's AM 790 WAXY is your place to tune in. You can get the Panthers app for free. Hit the radio button, top right corner. Take all the guesswork out of it. You can always find our broadcast there. Quick turnaround. Panthers will be on the road against the New York Islanders tomorrow night, 7:30 face-off, 7 o'clock pregame. That in Miami-Dade and Broward counties will be on 560 WQAM. We'll recap the Panthers' visit to the Hockey Hall of Fame back on Wednesday when they gifted a Stanley Cup ring to the Hockey Hall of Fame. But coming up next segment, Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com and the Territory Talk podcast stops by to talk all things Panthers. Doug Plagans with you. Dan Day on the other side of the glass. Right back with more in a moment on the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network presented by Baptist Health. Hey, everybody, welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you as always, talking all things Florida Panthers hockey on a Saturday morning. Panthers in the midst of a string of 6 straight games on the road. They lost in Boston to open the trip back on Tuesday. That snapped the Panthers' 6-game win streak. But then Thursday, it was a big win over the Toronto Maple Leafs, put the Panthers back into the top spot in the Atlantic Division. I guess they were in the top spot going into that game, but the winner of that game had a chance to finish the night atop the Atlantic. So that's where the Panthers are, coming off that 3-2 win back on Thursday evening in Toronto. Tonight, getting set to start up a back-to-back. They'll be in Montreal tonight, 7 o'clock. You can hear all the action in Miami-Dade and Broward counties on AM 790 WAXY. Real Radio 92.1, 1230 The Gambler in the Palm Beaches. Real Radio 101.7 up on the Treasure Coast. 100.3 Thunder Country in the Keys. The Panthers app, of course. Download the free Panthers app if you don't have it. Hit that radio button top right corner. Get our broadcast every game. And I mentioned it's the front end of a back-to-back tonight. The Panthers will be on Long Island tomorrow, 7:30 face-off when they meet the New York Islanders. So busy weekend for the Panthers, playing some good hockey, coming in off a win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, well, joining us now to talk about it, my friend and yours from the Territory Talk podcast, from FloridaPanthers.com, from the second intermission of every Panthers game you hear on our radio broadcast, Jameson Olive, kind enough to take some time out for us. Jameson, you're an insider again. You had a little bit of a hiatus from the Panthers Insider Show, but we welcome you back.
It's great to be back inside, Doug. I had no idea what was going on in here. I was just my face pressed up against the window wondering what the heck you're talking about. So it's great to be back now on the inside with you to talk some Panthers hockey.
You were deeply immersed in trade deadline conversation the last couple of weeks leading up to it and then coming out of the NHL's trade deadline. So why don't we start it there, Jameson, because the Panthers were busy leading up to the deadline. And I've said this to a number of people. I thought that before the deadline, before even the Seth Jones trade, thought the Panthers were the deepest team in the Eastern Conference. after the trade deadline, I think they are even further entrenched as the deepest team in the Eastern Conference. What do you think overall about the way the Panthers roster has come together, and what's caught your eye about the new additions who've come in?
Well, health obviously matters first and foremost. Right now you don't have Matthew Tkachuk, you don't have Brad Marchand, and you don't have Aaron Ekblad. But if all those pieces are back and this team is fully healthy, I don't think there's a deeper team in the NHL than the Florida Panthers. Come playoff time, you could be in a situation where you have guys like Evan Rodriguez, Jesper Boqvist, maybe Mackie Samuskevich, a lot of different guys that could easily be playing in the top six, could be on the fourth line for the Florida Panthers if they're fully healthy, which is awesome for both those guys and the team. So, they're going to have a fourth line that should be a third line that should be a second, and a second line that could easily be a first. And, of course, we know how good their first line is. So, that's tough, Doug. It's tough for any team to match up against. And it gets you in a situation, especially in the playoffs where matchups matter even more, where the Panthers can match up any line against any line. So it's a huge luxury for them and Paul Maurice behind the bench. But looking at some of the newcomers, you know, Nico Sturm to me stood out right away, centering the fourth line. He's so good at faceoffs. He's been great on the penalty kill. And it seems like every game he's played in so far, a small sample size, but every game he's played in so far, he's made at least one or two things happen on offense, whether it's a good rush, generating a rebound, you know, getting traffic in front of the net. He's very noticeable every time he's out there, which you love to see. Seth Jones obviously has been thrust into a top line role here with Aaron Ekblad out. Had a huge play the other night in Toronto that led to the game-winning goal on the power play for Sam Bennett, just a diving stick play at the blue line to keep the puck in the zone. But you see him getting more comfortable every game. He's got the biggest adjustments out of anyone. He's coming from a different team. He's coming from the Western Conference. The Panther system is very different from what he used to be playing, and he's a guy that can't be sheltered, especially right now. He's going to be playing 22, 23, 24, 25 minutes a night, depending on how much special teams time the Panthers have as well. So he's got the highest, biggest learning curve here, and I think he's looked really good early on, and he's only going to get better every single game. So that's been awesome. And then, you know, Brad Marchand, obviously that's the splashiest trade, just given the name factor, the fact that he, you know, spent 16 seasons in Boston before coming here, the fact that he was maybe the face of the Panthers' most bitter rival now here with the Florida Panthers. And he's been awesome. Obviously, he's not playing right now. He's week to week. Hopefully, he gets on the ice before the playoffs start to get, you know, some reps in, get comfortable with the guys, and get comfortable with the system. But just behind the scenes, just such a nice guy. It's really fitting well. The guys in the locker room loving, you know, Sam Bennett already said, you know, the chirps have been flying in a really fun way. So he's already making an impact, even though he hasn't been on the ice. So, you know, that's been huge. And then, you know, Vitek Vanacek, you know, for the Panthers, only got into one game, but it was a shutout. So you can't ask for much more than that. And he's a guy like you and I talked about, before the trade deadline even happened. He's a guy that the Panthers needed because he's a guy that now behind Sergei Bobrovsky has a ton of experience. He's got over 100 regular season games. He's got 10 playoff games. He's seen it all, done it all. You know, knock on wood, you never want anything to happen to Sergei Bobrovsky, but if it did, you got a lot of confidence in his experience back there if he has to step up. But regardless, he's in a position right now to help the Panthers win this division, which would be huge.
And we don't know who's going to be in net tonight, tomorrow, but I would expect we see Vitek Vanacek over the course of the weekend here. Panthers, of course, in Montreal tonight at 7, and then tomorrow night on Long Island, 7:30 against the Islanders, and we'll start things off with Panthers preview half an hour prior to each game. And you mentioned Brad Marchand, and I want to focus a little bit more there because he had the press conference in South Florida, introduced to the media. That was back on Monday. And then the Panthers, the day of the game in Boston on Tuesday, had the media availability with Brad Marchand in Boston. And you can tell there was certainly some emotion from Brad Marchand, understandably so, addressing his time in Boston and everything there. But I think that was the biggest thing, was the excitement, too, that he displayed about coming to this Panthers team. And it did take some getting used to, seeing him in the Panthers warm-up gear, seeing him in a Panthers practice jersey during the morning skate back on Tuesday in Boston. I'm sure hockey fans across North America are thinking that same thing. It's going to take a minute to get used to Brad Marchand being in something other than Bruins black and gold. But I think the second he walked in, just him being around the facility, there was a jolt of energy sent through the building, it felt like to me.
Yeah, it's kind of like Kyle Okposo last year, but it's a little bit different. But you bring in a guy that's got a reputation, that's respected around the league, that's been in the league a long time, and he joins your group. And even though Brad Marchand's already won a cup, he suddenly becomes another guy where you're like, you know, let's win this one for him. You know, he's been in the league a long time. I mentioned that cup. That was back in 2011. It's been 14 years since he won the Stanley Cup. He's 36 years old. That window's closing, and he wants one more. And you sense the hunger. You sense the drive, and that's going to be infectious for the rest of the locker room. So that's going to be huge. It's funny. Last time he won a Stanley Cup, he's with Sean Thornton, who's been working in the Panthers front office for what feels like forever now. He's been retired for a while. I really am looking forward to seeing that impact just in terms of what he does on the bench. Obviously, very talkative guy. On a room full of talkers, Paul Maurice said the other day, it's a lot of strange guys in that room. And you know what? Brad Marchand's a strange guy. He's going to fit right in. But I'm interested to see how he fits once we actually get into game dynamics and, you know, what's said during intermissions, who's hyping the guys up pregame. And on the ice, you know, they've talked a lot about, obviously, everyone saying, oh, the Panthers are going to have the most annoying line ever in Brad Marchand, Sam Bennett, and Matthew Tkachuk. That's not a guarantee. He could be on the third line, for all we know, playing with Tuukka Rantanen and Anton Lundell. How great a third line would that be? So we don't know where he's going to be yet. Obviously, you can play, you know, fantasy coach for as much as you want. There's a lot of good options because the Panthers are so deep. Every line combination looks exciting. But I'm excited to see where he, you know, lands once he does get out there. But in the meantime, especially if it's going to end up being a couple more weeks here until he gets back, once again, we don't know. He's going to, I think, already kind of be a part of the fabric of the team by the time he does step on the ice.
And interesting, too, that everybody the Panthers picked up, Seth Jones, Nico Sturm, Brad Marchand, they all kill penalties, too. So it makes what's already a deep penalty-killing group even deeper for Paul Maurice when it comes time to you know, hopefully have everybody at full health.
And Paul Maurice just hammered that home every time we bring those guys up. Is he said a million times, is, you know, the biggest part of last year's run of the Stanley Cup was the penalty kill. You know, the year they lost to Vegas, it was in, like, I think it was, like, 77% or so. It just wasn't good enough to win the Cup. And they saw that. They go into the offseason. They addressed that. Kevin Stenlin was a big ad, and their penalty kill was huge in the playoffs. You look at who they went through to win the Stanley Cup. Tampa Bay, just insanely elite. Boston obviously has David Pastrnak, and that power play is usually really strong as well. You look at, you know, the Rangers at the time, one of the top power plays in the NHL. And then, of course, the Edmonton Oilers with Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Bouchard, those guys. That's an insanely good power play as well. The penalty kill had to be elite for the Panthers to win the Stanley Cup last year, and it was. And now they hope it is again here, like you said, with those additions.
Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com here with us. And Jameson, going into Thursday's game, that was the first of three remaining for the Panthers and the Toronto Maple Leafs. And a lot of folks around the hockey world really focused on those because you'd think with how tight those two teams have been in the standings. I know Tampa Bay is making it tough on everybody, too. They've been surging up the standings. But with three left going into Thursday between the Panthers and the Leafs, you felt like those three could determine who finishes first in the Atlantic. And it seems like this year there is some value, some incentive to finishing first in the Atlantic. Well, the Panthers passed the first test. They picked up not only a win, but a regulation win. That was a big one. 3-2 back on Thursday night, Panthers over the Leafs. And I thought that overall it was a great performance by the Panthers, who gave up the first one early, but their game never wavered. That's been a hallmark trait of this team the last couple of years under Paul Maurice, that they always stick to their game. And they did that the other night. And as the game wore on, there were stretches where it felt like one-way traffic. Toronto put up a fight at the end, of course, but the Panthers came out with a big win. What'd you like the most there from Thursday's win in Toronto?
A lot of things. Obviously, I think the depth really showed in that one. The fourth line really had a nice shift that set up Nico Mikkola's big goal. But overall, they were just an insanely effective line in that game, just in terms of just killing the opposing other team's line, you know, eating up ice time, keeping the puck in the zone, not letting much go the other way. And, you know, for the Panthers, you mentioned they gave that early goal 2 minutes into John Tavares, but they only gave up three scoring chances in the first period. It was a really strong defensive game from the Panthers from start to finish. The Leafs obviously made their push in the third period, but unlike the game before in Boston, the Panthers did hold on. And that's what you love to see, because the Panthers have been so good at closing out games, such a good third period team. They let it slip in Boston the first game of this road trip. Right after, they say, you know, that's unusual. We're going to learn from that. We're not that team. Immediate chance, you know, to make amends the next game in Toronto, and they do. So that's good. That's a good trend you want to see, is teams learning from their mistakes. But obviously, Sam Bennett with the two power play goals, he's done such a good job filling in on that top power play unit with Matthew Tkachuk out. Mackie Samuskevich gets a couple assists. He's getting better every game. But, you know, Bob's obviously there for the big saves, moves up into 10th all-time, sole possession for all-time wins by a goaltender. So congrats to Bob. But so much to like in that game. But one other thing I want to just point out is, once again, this goes all the way back to, you know, the playoffs 2 years ago. I don't know what it is. Obviously, a lot of it's, you know, their depth, and a lot of it's Alexander Barkov and Sam Reinhart and their elite defensive forwards. But the Panthers continue to do such a good job at just making Auston Matthews invisible when they play the Toronto Maple Leafs. And not a lot of teams can do that. He's so good. And the thing is, when that happens, you still have to, you know, contain whether it's a William Nylander or a Mitch Marner or a John Tavares who got a goal in that game. They have so many weapons. But in particular, the Panthers do a really good job of quieting Auston Matthews. And it's going to be interesting to see if that continues. Obviously, they could meet again in the playoffs. But it's just become a noticeable thing whenever these two teams meet.
Yeah, when the Panthers and the Leafs play, I know that historically John Tavares has been a thorn in the Panthers' side at times, going back to his time as a New York Islander. I know Mitch Marner at times has had some big games against the Panthers, but it seems like lately, last couple of years when these two teams play, I know he didn't score Thursday, but William Nylander seems to be the most dangerous-looking Toronto Maple Leaf, seems to be the most threatening-looking Toronto Maple Leaf, and that might just speak to how much he's evolved into a star player.
100%. The playoffs 2 years ago was pretty much William Nylander was the main guy carrying the water there for Toronto in that series. And he had a great pass to set up John Tavares' one-timer in the game the other night. So that was huge. So, yeah, he really kind of does feel like that guy for the Leafs right now when they play the Panthers. And sometimes that's just how it works out. You can't take out everyone, but it's why some guys have incredible records against other teams and not so much against other teams at the other end of the spectrum. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on come playoff time. And like you said, two more matchups here for the Panthers and the Maple Leafs remaining that could decide the division. Right now, the Panthers back in the driver's seat, 4-point lead. The Maple Leafs do have a game in hand, of course, but regardless, Panthers feeling good about their spot right now.
Tonight, Panthers and the Montreal Canadiens, and Toronto has Ottawa. That's another big game that has implications within the Atlantic Division. Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, here with us. A couple more before we let you get out of here, but a guy we probably don't highlight enough that maybe we should. As his first season as a Panther has gone along, AJ Greer, we see the toughness, we see the physicality, but I feel like we've seen a confidence grow, and similarly to Nico Mikkola in a way, because we know Nico primarily for other things, his defensive prowess, that hard-nosed style out in front of the net, making things tough on the opposition. But Nico this season has shown a real awareness and a confidence to jump up in the play and create offensively. I think as the season's gone along, and maybe it's a product of settling in to a defined role, and he's been in the lineup every single game, and he clearly has the trust of the coaching staff, but we've seen AJ Greer showing an ability to make plays and coincidentally set up Nico Mikkola with a really nice pass off the forecheck the other night in Toronto, set up a big goal for the Panthers in the game on Thursday night. But I think as time goes on here, like I said, you know the physicality, you know all that with AJ's game, you know he's going to get in there on the forecheck, he's going to stand up for his teammates. But as time goes on, you see him showing some real creativity in the offensive end, making plays and finding the ability to put some pucks in the net. What have you liked about his game as we continue to get closer and closer to playoff time, where he plays a style that seems like it could fit playoff hockey pretty well?
Yeah, he's a modern-day fourth liner. He's what you need your fourth liners to be, which is guys that are tough, guys that can forecheck, guys that don't mind dropping the gloves if they need to, but guys that can also put the puck in the back of the net. And you stop me if you've heard this before, Doug, but veteran player comes to the Panthers and has a career best year. That's what's happening for AJ Greer. He's already got 17 points. That's a career high. 6 goals. That's tied for his career high. I'm sure he'll find a way to get number 7 here down the home stretch. But he's a guy that obviously makes an impact on the ice, but in the locker room as well. I know a lot of guys like him. Obviously, he's a talkative guy, likes to get the room fired up. And he's a guy that I think you knew would fit into the Panther system, given the fact that he spent some time in Boston. He's played some Bruins hockey, which in terms of intensity and what's, you know, demanded of you is very similar to what the Panthers do now in terms of their forecheck and their physicality. So that's great to see. You know, we've loved talking to AJ. We've had a couple chats with him recently. He's a good friend of Brad Marchand, so he's another guy that's going to help welcome him into the fold here with the Panthers. But like you said, just a guy that I think is really impressive in what he does for the Panthers, and a guy that the more you watch him, the more you learn about him, and you say, okay, I didn't know he could do that, or I didn't know he could do that. And I think he's a guy where if he gets that opportunity to come playoff time, he's going to have some big moments.
Yeah, he's another guy also that can kill penalties if his number needs to be called, and the Panthers have only gotten deeper in that part of the game. Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, kind enough to stop by here on Panthers Insider this morning. And now we shift gears, Jameson, getting you set for tonight's game. The Panthers are in Montreal, big Atlantic Division game against the Canadiens. Hard to believe, first time the Panthers this season have been here to Montreal. So at this point in the season, of course, the Panthers vying for the Atlantic Division title. But at this point in the season, you've got this young upstart Montreal team that is doing maybe what they hoped they would be doing. You always hear this about teams that are trying to turn the corner, teams that were, you know, in that rebuild a couple of years ago. We want to be playing meaningful games in March and into April. Well, here they are, the Montreal Canadiens under Marty St. Louis. Young players progressing, playing meaningful games, and largely standing pat at the deadline. That seemed like kind of a vote of confidence from the organization there. They didn't really go into any kind of selling mode. They kept the group intact, and maybe they felt there that they've earned the right to keep this group intact because they played well. What do you expect here tonight when the Panthers go up against a Montreal team that is playing to try and get its way back into a wild card spot?
Yeah, this is a team that's really had a nice little rebuild here. Obviously, you know, they made it to the Stanley Cup final during the COVID playoffs a few years ago, but this team really, you know, this city, should I say, really hasn't had a team to rally around in a while quite like this, because obviously during the COVID years, you were so distant and separate from the team. So I expect the building to be absolutely crazy. I think even when this team is at the bottom of the standings, the Bell Center is one of the hardest buildings to go in and win a game. You know, the crowd's electric, the goal song, if they start piling up the goals, it just builds and builds, and it's really hard to push back against that. And, you know, Paul Maurice talked about it. Yeah, the Panthers are going to play the Maple Leafs. Yeah, they're going to play the Lightning down the stretch. But they have three more here against the Montreal Canadiens who are going to be fighting for their lives in every single one of those games. They're right there on the cusp of a wild card spot. They can taste it. The city thinks this team can be a playoff team. The players on the ice think it can be a playoff team. So I expect the game against the Canadiens to be just as intense and just as tough as it was against the Maple Leafs at Scotiabank the other night in Toronto. So it's going to be a tough matchup. Obviously, when you have guys like Nick Suzuki, is probably, you know what? I know he plays for the Canadiens and he gets a lot of pub up here in Canada, but I think he now that we maybe can finally take it away from Alexander Barkov, I think he's one of the most underrated players in the NHL for what he does at both ends of the ice and how important he is to the Montreal Canadiens. And obviously, Cole Caulfield can score from anywhere on the ice. You look at the back end, obviously, Lane Hudson's one of the top rookies in the NHL. Mike Matheson, we all know him from his days with the Panthers. So this is a team that has guys now that can beat you, and this is a team that's playing with a lot of passion right now. So the Panthers know all this going in. They're not going to sleep on these guys, but it's going to be a really intense matchup for sure.
Yeah, looking forward to this one here tonight, the Panthers and the Montreal Canadiens from Montreal. Last thing, biggest key for the Panthers here in the game tonight.
You know what? I think, like I mentioned, the crowd here can really, really lift up the home team when you play at the Bell Center. So I think the Panthers have to have a good start here, not just a good defensive start, not just a let's get through the first period 0-0. They got to find a way to take the lead here early in the first period, take the crowd out of it best you can, because if you let the Canadians just have a taste, have a sniff of success, it's going to be tough, and that boulder's going to start rolling down the hill. So for the Cats, you know, I know it's cliche, but first 10 minutes, it's going
to
be key.
Yeah, looking forward to that one tonight. Jameson Hall, FloridaPanthers.com. We'll let you go get ready for tonight's game. We'll talk to you in the second intermission.
Sounds good. Thanks, Doug.
That's Jameson Hall, FloridaPanthers.com. Kind enough to stop by. Panthers and the Canadians tonight. Going to be a 7 o'clock face-off. 6:30, we're on the air with Panthers Preview. And a programming note, if you're tuned in, Miami-Dade and Broward County's AM 790 WAXY is your place to tune in. We'll be back over on our flagship home, 560 WQAM, for tomorrow night's game when the Panthers are on Long Island to take on the New York Islanders in the second end of this back-to-back. Back as their season-long six-game road swing continues. The Panthers are in Montreal to take on the Canadiens tonight, looking to make it back-to-back wins and another big game within the Atlantic Division and a game with Eastern Conference playoff implications coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll step aside. We'll come back. And, well, next segment, we're going to highlight another event that goes along with the Panthers winning the 2024 Stanley Cup. Members of the Panthers, coaching staff, president of hockey operations, general manager Bill Zito, visited the Hockey Hall of Fame back on Wednesday, and the Panthers gifted a ring, a Stanley Cup ring, a Barkov Stanley Cup ring to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and we'll revisit the events of Wednesday as well. A special day for the Panthers and a special visit to the Hockey Hall of Fame. So we have some sound coming up from that on the other side of the break. That and more as we get you set for the Panthers and the Canadiens tonight from Montreal. Doug Plagans with you. Thanks again to Jameson Olive for stopping by. More of the Panthers Insider Show is next right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health. Welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you as always, talking Florida Panthers hockey on a Saturday morning. Heading down the stretch here in this edition of Panthers Insider, but we're getting you set for tonight's game, the Panthers and the Montreal Canadiens in Montreal. The Panthers in Montreal for the first time this season, coming off Thursday night's big 3-2 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Panthers looking to make it two straight victories and, well, looking to get this back-to-back started on a good note. The Panthers and the Canadiens tonight at 7. We're on the air with Panthers Preview beginning at 6:30, and you can catch all the action if you're in Miami-Dade and Broward counties on AM 790 WAXY. Elsewhere, you can find us in the Palm Beaches on Real Radio 92.1 and 1230 The Gambler. You can find us in the Florida Keys on 100.3 Thunder Country, Real Radio 101.7 on the Treasure Coast. And of course, you can get the Panthers app for free. Hit that radio button in the top right corner and get our broadcast for each and every game. So tonight, 7 o'clock in Montreal, 6:30 we start the pregame coverage. Second end of the back-to-back is going to be tomorrow. The Panthers will head off to Long Island. They'll take on the New York Islanders tomorrow night. Going to be a 7:30 face-off, 7 o'clock we're on the air with Panthers Preview. The only difference programming-wise, tomorrow night we're back over on our flagship home, 560 WQAM, for the Panthers and the Islanders. And that one, again, will be half an hour later on the puck drop, 7:30 tomorrow night. Tonight's game, puck drops at 7 p.m. Pre-game coverage both nights starts 30 minutes prior to puck drop. Well, coming down the stretch here on Panthers Insider, as I mentioned, we'll hear from Nate Schmidt coming up in just a few moments. Talk to him about some of these big games down the stretch. But a couple of days back, the Panthers, when they got to Toronto the day before that victory over the Leafs, back on Wednesday, the Panthers visited the Hockey Hall of Fame. A few members of last year's Stanley Cup winner, the coaching staff, Panthers general manager, president of hockey operations, Bill Zito, was there. And the Panthers kept up with the tradition of donating a Stanley Cup ring to the Hall of Fame, a tradition that started back in 2007, of course. All kinds of hockey history and artifacts on display at the Hall of Fame. And the Panthers would gift a Stanley Cup ring, a 2024 Stanley Cup ring, to the Hockey Hall of Fame. It was a Barkov Stanley Cup ring. And we had a chance to catch up with a couple of the Panthers to talk about it. Here's Alexander Barkov on what it meant to gift that ring to the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto.
It was awesome. Just to come here, I've been here a few times, so just to come here and as a huge hockey fan, it's always nice, and to be part of the history now is amazing, and to present the ring here as well with the teammates and management, it was awesome. So for sure, one of the memorable days.
So the captain, Alexander Barkov, there. Here's Sam Reinhart. He was asked on Thursday morning after the morning skate in Toronto about visiting the Hockey Hall of Fame and about gifting the ring and what it meant.
I think you have to, take advantage and enjoy all those opportunities you get. A lot goes into, earning that right and earning that opportunity to go, and having an event like that. So, I think it's something you can't take for granted because you never know if it's going to happen again. But it was obviously an exciting time.
So you heard from a couple of the players, Sam Reinhart there, Alexander Barkov before that. Here's the head coach of the Panthers, Paul Maurice, on gifting the ring to the Hall of Fame and seeing the 2024 Stanley Cup Championship Florida Panthers exhibit in the Hockey Hall of Fame alongside all the other hockey history.
It's nice to be a part of a team that joins that history. There are so many. I recommend it to anybody. If you're a hockey fan, go to the Hall of Fame because you can just spend hours and get lost in it. And the names that are on the wall, whether it's the Hall of Fame or the teams that have had success, the big thrill for me is getting a look at all the Stanley Cup rings and how they've changed over time. They've got one, I believe, from the late 1800s straight through, and not all of them. It was in 2007 they started collecting rings from everybody, but it's nice to have the Florida Panthers ring in there to be a part of the Hall of Fame that will stay.
And along the same lines, here's Panthers President Hockey Operations and General Manager Bill Zito on seeing the relics from the 2024 Panthers Stanley Cup winner alongside all the other artifacts and all the other history at the Hockey Hall of Fame.
It's surreal, and it's beyond that because, for example, this photo, when we all walked by the first time and we all saw it, it's an overused phrase, it takes your breath away, but it did, and it did for everybody. And it's not only that it's done and you're in the hall, it's how well it's done. And the little, so during the little talk we had, we all wanted to keep looking behind it at the display case. Oh, there's Chucky's mouthpiece. And then it made me think of when I was a kid and Ricky Henderson. You know, we stole second base and set the record, and they grabbed the base. And it just made me think about all those things that happen in life as a fan. And it's such an honor. It's you get geek coming here, for sure.
And to leave a ring here as a donation, something that'll live on forever here. How special is that?
I want to say it the right way for you, that how humbling and at the same time empowering it is, because I'm really here, and this is something we all work together, and all you guys too are, you know, everyone was a part of it, and to think, you know what, I had something to do with that, and it's such a thrill. What a wonderful place.
Just a great exhibit. And to echo, going back to what Paul Maurice said, if you're a hockey fan, if you're a sports fan, if you find yourself in Toronto, check out the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's an awesome place, and there's always something different there. They do such a great job at the Hockey Hall of Fame, just a really cool place. And right now, like I said, there's a lot of Panthers elements featured there, so be sure to check it out if you have the opportunity. Now, switching gears, I caught up with Panthers defenseman Nate Schmidt to talk about the big games down the stretch. Tonight's game in Montreal certainly is one of those, but I first asked him if a road trip like this is helpful for getting familiar with some of the Panthers' new teammates. Some new faces have come into the mix the last couple of weeks, and well, here's what Nate had to say first about that.
I think it does. I find that the last month or so that we spent at home was awfully nice, good family time, but this is the time where you're only with the guys all the time, 24/7. It's something that I find is an easier way to get to know people, right? Like, you know, at home, these guys are had to uproot their lives, right? They've been moving around, they're this, that, and the other. They've moved, you know, cross country, you know, as Termini goes from one of the country to another. And so there's a lot going on with life. So I think that this is a time where you get to see guys a little more. You get to sit, you'll get a sauna session and sit down and chat and hang out, or again, when you go get a, you know, workout in, they're in there. You know, it's those little times where you start to chop it up. You know, we call it hot stove. You know, I love it. Throw a log on the fire and just let it burn. So it's something that I enjoy. It's actually probably one of the favorite parts about being a pro.
Exciting to be, you know, not only on a team that is poised to make a run, but up leading up to the deadline, you guys get deeper at every position. To be able to get that vote of confidence from upper management, that's got to go a long way in the room too.
Yeah, and just the belief that we know we have what it takes in this room. This team knows what it has. As someone that came in after they won, you know what you have in the room. But it never hurts to have a couple of reinforcements come in and be able to just, like you said, provide such a level of depth that is needed at this time of the year. I mean, it's just, you never know what's going to happen. You lose Chucky, Brad's out for a little while. Like, you know, we still have guys that can go out and play and be impactful in your game. That's incredibly important. If you don't have that, and when you start getting thin is when you start getting in trouble, and you start... other teams' depth over a 7-game series can wear you down. So I think it's really important. And it is really it's really nice. You get a look from your manager saying, hey, we know what we have. Like, let's go get it done.
Last thing for you here. You always hear the game gets tighter this time of the year. From your perspective, what does change, you know, night to night, shift to shift, this time of the year when everybody's got so much on the line?
Yeah, I just find that, you know, the forecheck gets it a little bit quicker. Neutral zone gets a little bit tighter. Guys' sticks are a little bit more active. It's just... You can feel a sense of heightened emotion and sense of awareness on the ice, right? And so I find that this is that time. This is what makes it fun. This is why you play. This is, you never want to hit the fast forward button on anything, because this is what this is where you make your money. This is the time of year when teams look at guys and you look at your players and say, is that guy going to go get it for me and get it done? And that's the greatest vote of confidence you can get from a manager, from a player, from a coach, is if they believe this time of year you can do it.
Nate Schmidt there, always great to catch up with him. And that takes us to the end of this edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Again, we're back at it tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock from Montreal, Panthers and the Canadiens. Programming note, if you're looking for us in Miami-Dade and Broward counties, you can find us on AM 790 WAXY, back over on 560 WQAM tomorrow night when the Panthers visit the Islanders, 7:30, 7 o'clock pregame tomorrow. Again, to the Palm Beaches, Real Radio 92.1 and 1230 The Gambler for tonight and tomorrow. 100.3 Thunder Country in the Keys, Real Radio 101.7 on the Treasure Coast, the Panthers app, hit that radio button top right corner. You get us every game. If you're a SiriusXM subscriber, get that SiriusXM app, channel 931 on your app and streaming. SiriusXM platforms is always going to have our broadcast, so just another way to consume Panthers hockey. That's it for this edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Doug Plagans. We're back with you tonight from Montreal. It's the Panthers and the Canadiens coming up for you this evening. For Dan Day on the other side of the glass, I'm Doug Plagans. Thanks again for being with us this morning. This has been Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.